is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
When you first meet a gallerist that you like and you look at what they're showing, you look at their program, you look at the other artists, and you date for a while before you get married. So we'll see. I may start dating again, but I'll have to have a period of mourning first.
The words of Anne Beresford, one of the first artists represented by the Rotenberg Gallery on Newbury Street. Beresford will have to start looking for new galleries to show her work, dating, as she mentioned, it's called in the art world, when the Rotenberg closes its doors on June 19th. And when it does, where will new contemporary artists go for their first showing? Who will they date? And are we so far behind Los Angeles and New York that there's just no catching up? Well, joining us now to talk about these questions in the art world in Boston is Jeff Edgers. He's arts writer at the Boston Globe. Welcome to Radio Boston, Jeff.
Hi there.
Also with us in the studio is Jeff Hargadon. I promised you I wasn't going to mess that up, and yet there I did anyway. Jeff is a financial advisor as well as an artist and collector. He's the man behind the Somerville Gates, his answer to Christo and Jean-Claude's famous Gates installation in New York City's Central Park, just on a smaller scale, right, Jeff?
Yes, welcome, little ones.
Welcome to Radio
Thanks.
Boston. Well, I mean, we mentioned the closing of the Rotenberg Gallery. Jeff Edgers, let me just start with you. I know that the owner said that it wasn't for economic reasons, but why do we think the gallery then decided to close now?
Well, I'll have to say I want to defer to the other Jeff on this question because he actually knows the folks at the gallery better than I do. But I mean, I'm a reporter, so I believe when people tell me something. So it must be the truth. But Jeff, you had some insight on this, I think.
Well, I don't think they closed for financial reasons. I think it was a time in their lives where they just wanted to do different things. I think Abby's not going to go home and read Art Forum and wait for the phone to ring. She's going to be out there doing stuff. And Kristen Dodge is moving on to New York and will open her own gallery down there. I think they had a lot of success. They just won a Best in Show at Volta in New York at the art fairs. And I think it's kind of good to go out at the top.
Okay. So, well, it may be good for them, but is it good for the contemporary art world here in Boston, Jeff Edgers?
Well, you know, it's a funny thing because we in the news business, when three things happen, that's suddenly a trend. And, you know, the fact is, you know, a couple galleries have closed on Newbury Street. You know, one of them moved. We tend to say, oh, is all the contemporary art, you know, the contemporary art scene dying here? In reality, I don't know why we're comparing ourselves to New York and Los Angeles. And you know, we're really killing Milwaukee. I don't know why we're trying to measure ourselves up to like sort of the gold standard for, you know, the number of people, the number of artists. Sure, it would be great if there was more contemporary art here, but there aren't enough contemporary art collectors here to fuel that kind of an environment. And it also costs a lot to live here. So if you're making contemporary art, you know, it's also a nice idea to live in places outside of these, you know, major metropolises, I think.
But Jeff, I got to wonder, I mean, isn't that what Boston always does, is compare itself to places like New York and just about everything else? So why not, in terms of art and trying to be a good place for contemporary artists to be, in terms of, you know, having studio space, having a community that welcomes in, and having galleries that will show their work?
Well, I think we should aspire to have all of those things, certainly. But also, if you look a little bit deeper, you know, Howard Yuzerski, who I talked to today, actually, he ran a gallery on Newbury Street for years. And, you know, he moved to south of, I don't like the district there, south of Washington Street, which mm-hmm. has tons and tons of galleries. I can't not have trouble with language.
Is that kind of the new epicenter of a lot of these galleries?
Yeah, and you know, when he was starting his gallery in Boston in 1988, he did it in off Newbury Street somewhere else, which had a few galleries there. Galleries move. The reality is Howard Yuzerski moved his gallery because he was in a 1,200 square foot third floor gallery on Newbury Street, and now he's on a 1,400 square foot, you know, ground level gallery. And he said he's paying half what he paid on Newbury Street. It's just simple economics. And there are all these art galleries around him. I mean, it's a pretty thriving territory.
Mm-hmm. Jeff Hargadon, do you take the same sort of nuanced view about what the impact of the Rotenberg leaving means?
Yeah, I agree with Jeff because I have to. But I think what it means more than anything, I don't buy into the Boston-New York comparison. I think what it means more than anything is, and you gave a good example with Howard's gallery moving to the South End, I think it means a consolidation from Newbury Street down to the South End. They have critical mass. They have, you know, big gatherings down there, First Fridays tomorrow night. Everybody, you know, you can go to one place and see a whole lot of stuff. These artists who were with Rotenberg, they'll find a home. Some of them already have. And it'll just take time. As Anne mentioned, it's a little bit, it's a relationship. Mm-hmm. And it takes a while for artists to find the right fit.
Yeah, well, I wonder about that because I've also heard that some Boston artists say that they're actually selling more of their work in New York than they are in Boston, and that many of their buyers buying in New York are actually Bostonians. So, you know, like, basically it looks like buyers, not all, but many of them don't even see Boston as a place to purchase art.
I think that's true. I've heard that a lot as well. I think one of the reasons why they're doing that is because the market in New York is much, much bigger. It's much more globally connected. And I think also there's a certain cachet for collectors to be buying art in New York, which you could argue whether it's real or not, but people do that, I'm told, by some people who have galleries in town.
Mm-hmm. So, Jeff Edgers, do you think that, not to harp too much on this, but I think for people who are, you know, like you in the arts community in Boston, trying to figure out how to kind of inject a little juice into the community overall is always an issue. So does Boston have a branding problem? Like, how could we grow the scene here if people consider the Boston art scene maybe a little stodgy, maybe not?
Well, you know, there's a certain extent of sort of perception that is going to take a long time to change. You know, the fact is the ICA got its first proper home 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. You know, that's pretty amazing that it took so long in a major city. And we do have this, like, reputation for red brick and, you know, like, you know, Monets, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, there are a whole bunch of things that can be done to inject some life into the art scene, whether it's, like, actually funding public art at a, you know, a suitable level. You know, when we hear about public art, you know, we hear about, like, Shepard Fairey getting arrested.
Right.
You know, it'd be cool if we could hear about some incredibly dynamic project that's going on outside that, you know, nobody else has. You know, and it can be done. It doesn't cost that much. Artists are cheap, you know, and they want attention. So I don't think it would take all that much, but, you know, it'll take something.
Okay. Jeff Hargadon, do you think that it is an easy fix to get more people to pay closer attention to what's right in our own backyard?
Well, I wonder if it's a chicken and egg situation. I think you need funding to make it happen. Museums can't put on edgy shows and have nobody show up. I mean, who's going to pay for that? Somebody has to. You can't put on a really obscure show at the ICA and then get a handful of people to show up. You can't fund a show like that. The other thing that you mentioned before, Jeff, is the number of collectors that are in town. You just need more collectors. I'm not sure that that's going to happen. We're an inherently a conservative city. I don't think it's anything that we need to apologize for in comparison to New York. It's just we are who we are, and it's not a bad place.
No, I mean, no one's saying it is a bad place, but the reason why I'm asking mm-hmm. is because WBUR's Andrea Shea, she's our arts reporter, she did a story about the Rotenberg closing, and we got a lot of comments on our website about Andrea's piece, and one listener posted a comment where the listener said, quote, "The Boston contemporary art scene is terrible anyway. It's an absolute shame that the major institutions in Boston, the MFA, the ICA, etc., do nothing to support the local art scene. Instead, they simply grab already successful and overrated artists from galleries. There is absolutely no vision here in Boston for the arts community. And until there is, we will always be far behind cities like New York and Los Angeles." So once again, there is that comparison. So
I think Jeff wrote that, you know. No, I'm just kidding. No, it was anonymous. Okay. All strong words are anonymous, right?
This is a man who had the city of Somerville appoint a day after his little Somerville gates there. So I think he's doing all right.
They should have appointed a week, but I'm sorry, your question.
But do you think the listener has a point? Because we did mention the ICA as obviously a good place for contemporary art. But if you're a Boston artist and you're not Shepard Fairey, you're not going to get into the ICA.
Well, I don't know if that's true. That sounds like uber bitter. You know, I mean, it sounds like somebody who tried to get into the ICA's, you know, show and didn't get into it. I mean, the ICA, the De Cordova, they've all got, you know, some pretty decent artist prizes for local artists, and they've jacked them up over the years. And so, you know, Kelly Sherman, you know, I mean, I could take off the list of local artists who've, you know, been part of those exhibitions, and their art becomes part of the museums. Jeff, do you agree?
Yeah, the Fosser Prize that's been happening at the ICA every other year, that's mostly about Boston artists. It's been really successful. Yeah, everybody wants edgy, but again, like, you know, who's going to show up?
Yeah.
You know, who's going to get, what company is going to write out a check for $150,000 to put on an edgy show that few people will come and see?
Except maybe a writer.
Well, yeah.
Well, I mean, but then you're bumping up the requirements of commerce versus the freedom of art. But let me ask, I got to ask
you. It goes hand in hand.
In the modern age, I suppose it does.
Right.
Or actually, it always has from patrons from time immemorial.
Extent.
But we've got just under a minute here to go. And since we are on the cusp, hopefully, of a nice weekend starting tomorrow afternoon, I understand you've got some picks of some artistic things to do this weekend. Jeff Edgers, your pick?
Well, I just had a child, so I really will never be going anywhere again. So...
You should take your child with you, immerse them in art in a young age.
1 month old, I don't know. you know, one thing I would suggest is Conan O'Brien. I know that's a big, like, name and everything like that, but I hate Jay Leno so much that anything that
Jeff, I thought you were a Jay Leno guy. I had you pegged as a Jay Leno guy.
Thank you. I do have his shorts, and I think Jay Leno is such an evil figure that we should do anything we can to support Conan at this time.
And Jeff Hagenon?
Well, tomorrow night's First Friday in the South End, and you know there are a bunch of good group shows down there. I'd highlight the one of Steven Zavita's gallery, Ben Sloat, local artist. Go down and see it. It's a pretty interesting installation. Recommended.
All right. Well, that's Jeff Hagenon. He's a financial advisor and artist and collector. He's the creator of Somerville Gates. It seems like it's Somerville Day here on Radio Boston. But Jeff, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
And Jeff Edgers, staff writer for the art section of the Boston Globe and producer of Do It Again, a documentary about the reunion of the Kinks. Jeff Edgers, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.